Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, August 14th, 2022. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Our message is entitled, In Christ. Our text comes to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18, and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
This morning, we're going to review a passage of Scripture that is well known to all of us, but it's worth looking at it again and refreshing our hearts and refreshing our minds. So we're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If we can have the Scriptures up in the board, let's begin by reading it at this point. It's a passage of Scripture that is known to a lot of us by heart, and I know it in English and I know it in Spanish, and it goes this way: Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Amen. Hallelujah. And all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. If anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ. I've always marveled at the fact of the inclusive God that we have. Everyone includes everyone, every single one. God's grace and God's mercy, they're wide enough to encompass and embrace anyone, even the most vile, wicked sinner, and even the chief of sinners. Did you know that the Bible points out and tells us who was the worst sinner that ever lived? I'll tell you. You find this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 15 and 16. Let me read it to you. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, says Paul, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the worst. So if Paul says he was the worst sinner, he must have been the worst sinner. So if you thought you were bad, sorry, Paul has you beat already. He is the worst sinner. And he goes on, yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the worst sinner, Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example of those who would believe in him for eternal life. Paul is telling us that if he could be saved, anyone else could be saved, because he was the worst sinner of them all. So would you please unpack this in your mind and come to grips with the fact that you're not the worst sinner. Because sometimes the enemy comes to us and tells us and wants to make us believe that we're the worst. No, Paul's the worst. And Paul said, I'm saved. Now that should be very encouraging for all of you. Here, you thought you were that bad, huh? Yeah, well, you are bad, but I mean not that bad. You know, we all sin and have come short of the glory of God. Paul is telling us that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. And that anyone involves everybody. I want us to look at another scripture up in the screen. It's 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. And let's read it together. Well, you read it in silence and I read it, because if it's the other way around, we all step over each other's words, you know. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. Even though I was born in Argentina, I have to admit that. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Paul glorifies the fact that for the most part, the church of the first century, as the church of the 21st century, was composed and is composed of people who are basically regular people, humble people. That the church is not necessarily composed of, as they used to learn this word many years ago, chaitones. That's a kind of a weird word, but people who think more of themselves than they ought to. We must never think that the early church was composed only of people of the underclass, because it's not true. In another study, we can show you how the New Testament had members in the church that were of high influence and people that were noble and were powerful in the state and powerful in society. But the reality is that the greatest amount of people that made up the early church as the church today is humble people, common people, like you and me. That's the church. The church opens its door to everyone. Christ died for everyone. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The appeal of Christianity in the New Testament and throughout the centuries is always that way. The fact is that Christianity has always opened its door for all kinds of people. Somebody wrote, in a more negative way about the early church in the first century, saying the following. It says, look, if you have any culture, you know, if you are wise, if you are sensible, then stay away from Christians. If you are ignorant, and if you have a sense of non-culture, then become a Christian. That's what the world wants to say to us today. That was said in the first century. Putting us down simply because we dare to believe in the gospel and simply because we don't belong to a certain level of society. This other individual, emperor, actually, he wrote, we see them in their own houses, the wool dressers, the cobblers, they call them the fullers. Those are the people who clean clothes. And the most uneducated and vulgar persons make up Christianity. That's what they're saying, putting us down, putting people down. This terrible guy said, Christians were like a swarm of bats. I never saw myself thinking, like a bat, you know? Or ants creeping out of their nests. I believe in exterminators. Anyway, or frogs holding a symposium around a swamp. Think of it. Or worms in a corner of mud. The description of human beings by the intellectual, the intelligentsia of the first and second century, putting down Christianity because of its cultural composition as they saw it. But listen, this is precisely why the Christian faith is so filled with glory and power and strength. It's the gospel goes to everyone without any type of discrimination. Everybody is entitled to be one in Christ Jesus. He died for us all. You probably have said this before, but for those who were not here or don't remember, and sometimes I wonder how much of us, we remember one message from one Sunday to the next. Actually, I sometimes can't remember my own message one day after I preached it, so it's okay. Jesting here, jesting. The empire, Roman Empire, had over 60 million slaves. Did you know that? 60 million slaves. And in the eyes of the law, a slave was nothing more than a living tool. It was a thing. It was not a person. A master could come and do whatever he wanted with that slave. It could kill him. It could swat him. It could torture them. They could do anything because they were just a tool, a living tool. They were not considered a person, a human being. For slaves, there was no such a thing as a marriage. No, they were not. And their children, when they had children, they belonged to the master, just like lambs and goats and cows at birth. It belongs to the master, so the children of slaves belong to the master. Amazing, isn't it? But here's the key. That's how the world saw Christianity, how the world saw the members of Christianity. But the Lord has another idea altogether, because Christianity comes to your heart, and instead of you continuing to be a thing, you become a real person, a real man and a real woman with dignity given by God himself. It is not society that determines your status before the eyes of God. God has done that already in Christ Jesus. You are a son and a daughter of God. God saves without any respect to social standing. Because we're not a club. We're not a club. The church is not a club. The church is the body of Christ. Christianity did this incredible transformation of individuals. It gave self-respect to those who had no respect. Who was that guy that used to say, "I get no respect"? Yeah, okay, crazy guy. I know, he died. All right, hope he's in heaven. Hope he came to know the Lord. But we sometimes get no respect, but the Lord gives us respect. You know, I never thought of it, but God respects me. And God respects you. There's something about God working with you and with me that elevates us into positions of a priority that we don't even understand, and yet he says, "You're my daughter. You are my son." Gives us respect, gives us life eternal to those who had no life whatsoever. Did you know that you're going to live forever? Did you know that when the day comes and you breathe your last breath, that your life continues? Eternal life. And I tell you what, for people who look down, people who were looking down, and people who didn't matter anything to anybody else, they still mattered intensely and passionately to God. God is passionate about you. He loves you. He cares for you. He lifted you from the miry clay of sin, not to keep you there, but to transform you. You and I are becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Worthless to the eyes of people. Worthless to the eyes of the world. And yet in the eyes of the Lord, you were worth the death of his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Christianity was and is and will always be the most uplifting message. The most uplifting thing in the entire universe. Christ, who came to redeem you and me. If anyone is in Christ, this anyone covers all of us. All of us. If anyone is in Christ, we are new creation, new people. And as we said, as we read in the scripture, nothing of this is of us. It's all of God. God is the one who is doing this in your life and has done this in your life. He's the architect of a new life. He is the one who has constructed for you a wonderful new life and a future that cannot be beat. And that, brothers and sisters, the God who can do everything for us who can do nothing is what faith and a religion is all about. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is our Savior, and we're in him. And there's room for all of us to enjoy his blessings in our lives. So, you know, I think sometimes of my own personal weakness. I'm sure you think of yours as well. And we begin to understand that none of this can be done by our own efforts. And the Lord says to you, that's right. It's not your doing. I don't want you to boast on yourself. Boast on me, because I'm the one doing this in your life. And he takes a lot of the pressure out of us trying to get ourselves saved. It's not by works. It's by faith. Faith in the Son of God, who came to this world and died for our sins and rose for our justification. Because see, this is what the scripture says. God is only the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. We have faith in Jesus and we're justified. We're justified because Christ died for our sins. And as we believe in him, it's counted unto you and to me as righteousness. I know a lot of theological words, but enjoy them anyway if you don't understand them. Don't worry about it. But you should be concerned is this, that you are not out of grace with God, but you are in the in crowd with God, that he loves you. And I just said to you, in Christ, and the critique of the world and the critique of certain segments of society about your social standing has nothing to do with the reality that Jesus loves you and that he's made a room for you and that you belong to him. You know, Paul talks about in Christ all the time. And it's an amazing passage, an amazing ways to study what this really means. Let me just give you a couple of verses what it means to be in Christ. Because it says, if anybody is in Christ. And in Christ, well, for instance, Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In the Lord, there is no condemnation. Outside of the Lord, you better believe it. And sometimes you and I beat ourselves so much because we stepped out of the reality that we're in Christ and we slide right back into the, I'm in the world. But the Lord wants to reassure you that in Christ, there is no condemnation. Christ will never condemn you because he took your punishment. He paid the punishment for your sins and my sins. It is an amazing discovery to know that none of this is of us. This is all of God. God is the one who has done this for you. And all you need to do is say to the Lord, Lord, what will you have me do? Because he will tell you, serve me. Go preach the gospel. Tell people how they can be delivered, how they can have a life without the cares of their sin life, how they can have purpose and direction. Tell them that in this world they may have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. In Corinthians that we read, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses that we read, tells us something so very, very important. Because it tells us that anyone who is in Christ, we become, or we received a position, a place, so that Christ becomes our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. That Christ works in us. It's like this. You're in the world and you had it. You are in Christ and you have it all. And sometimes we kind of play ping pong, you know? And when we do things in the world, we get battered up and kicked and this and that and the other. But when we're in Christ, there is a change. And there's freshness. And there's strength. And this is an act of faith. And we're bound to live in two worlds. We really are. And Paul says, hey, you know, the flesh and the spirit, they battle. There's a battle going on. But look, the battle is won because Christ is the one who conquered sin in the cross. Now, when it says in Galatians 6:1, it says, for neither circumcision or anything matters, he says, but a new creation. We are new creations in the Lord. He created us all over again. In Christ Jesus, We are the new creation. It's like the Lord redid the whole world, and he put us there with great attributes and great strength that we acquire and receive by faith, of course. There's a transformation that takes place in your heart. And it's a transformation that has two levels. It is an instant change of spirit condition from dead to life. It happens instantly. And then is a process by which you apply God's change in your heart to your everyday living. This is why you and I are admonished to be in the Word, to stay in the Word, to read the Word, to live the Word. Because in the Word we find his presence, his guidance, his ways of speaking to us and encouraging us. When we're outside of the world and the Word does not become priority in our hearts, we slip back into those tentacles of the world that causes us to stumble. And we become obsolete. We become just good old carnal Christians, you know, grumpy and upset and fighting and critiquing and punching here and punching there. You look at the mirror and you hate what you see. But when you're in Christ and you activate your life in Christ, there's a change. There's a new perspective. God is speaking and working in your life differently. Differently. Those of us who know the Lord and who understand God's working, we know that we are transformed. And everything changes when you come to Christ. It says all things have passed away. How many have been transformed? How many have been saved? And all things become new. So you take a look at your life and you think about the old values that you espoused and you carried, the old values, the old ideas, the plans that you had, the perverted way you look at love, the desires of your heart and your life, all those crazy beliefs, all of that vanishes in the presence of the Lord. And they are replaced by those things that come with salvation. But I want you to know that though we are in Christ, often the Christian has to battle and it slips when the old values and the ideas and the plans and the loves and the desires and kind of want to take over your life. You have to fight that in the name of the Lord. You cannot allow that old life to be center in your life. You and I need to understand how important it is to see the Lord working in your heart and allowing the Lord to be primary, that he is the one that does the work in your heart and in your life. I really enjoy the presence of the Lord in our lives because that's how it gets done. When I sometimes doubt something, I go back to the Lord in prayer and in the Word, and he clears it up. But watch out, because often, the past wants to rule our present. You got to be careful, because in Christ, listen here, God gives you new desires. He replenishes. He plants new desires. He plants new loves. He gives you new inclinations. He gives you new truths. Truth that will help you to live in the midst of the old creation with the new creation. It gives you the ability to maneuver, to live, to conduct yourself with the things that exist in the world and with the values that God has implanted in your heart. And this is, I think, a wonderful expression of what it means to be a Christian, surely today, where you see the world and its stuff, and yet you see it and you understand what's going on, but inside of you, there is the Lord that says, no, that's not the way. This is the way. And you choose by the act of your will, in response to the wooing of God in your heart, to do that which is God's way. God's way and not the world's way. It's the idea of the old creation with a new creation perspective should just change you completely. Because you look at life and you say, yeah, that's how I used to do it, but this is how I do it now. Yes, before it was this, but now I'm doing this. That's in Christ. You're a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. There's a creation that will eventually, a recreation of the whole world, by the way, as we've talked about it. This recreation of the world, the word that's used for creation, new creation, is the same one as the recreation of the entire universe. The Lord will redo all of this, and there will be a new earth and a new heaven, and we will be there with him. Well, the same power that will do all of that has already begun to work in your heart. You are a new person, a new creation. Inside of you, you are brand new. God has done something in you that surpasses the world capacity to distinguish greatness. God has done something in you beyond words and beyond human measure. Let me conclude this morning, what Christ has done for you and for me. And it's you find this in chapter 1, verse 30 of 1 Corinthians, where we are. There are four things that the Lord does for you. He becomes for you. Three things. Christ is this for you. You're in Christ, and as you're in Christ, Christ works in you, and he is made unto us wisdom. I cannot stress this any more than I don't know how to stress it. All I can tell you is that when you follow the Lord, as you seek him, as you walk with the Lord, and as you listen to him, and as you hear the truth, you will be an expert in life. Listen again. You know why you make big mistakes in life? Because you don't listen to the wisdom that comes from knowing the Lord. Wisdom is the ability to live, to resolve problems as God will resolve them. Christ has done that for you. He is the one who will show you how to resolve the issue that you're facing today, if you were to listen to him. So sometimes what he says to us is contrary to the way that we used to do it, which pretty much guarantees this is the Lord speaking to you. Because in the old days, you punch him in the nose. In the new day, you pray. Well, no, I want to punch him. No, you don't punch him. You pray. And it's this disconnect that we often fall for, that we go back to how I used to resolve problems. But Christ has made wisdom unto us. He is the one who calls the shot and shows us how to live life in a masterful way. He gives you wisdom. He gives you understanding. And it, again, it's often totally contrary to what the world does. It's a book that if you like to read, I can tell you where you can get it. It's called The Upside Down Gospel. Upside Down Kingdom, excuse me. The Upside Down Kingdom. Because, you know, Jesus said, you know, in of all you heard, you know, you should, you know, a tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye. But now I tell you, love your enemies. Upside down. The wisdom that Christ brings to you. He shows you how to live as a new creature. As a new creature. As a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Jesus is made wisdom unto us. We have the wisdom of the Son of God. He created everything. So he's pretty smart. If he tells you to love somebody, you love that somebody because he's got the winning hand. And, you know, I've always said this, Lord, would you please hurry up and get this thing done for me? But he believes in the long game. He plays the long game. That saying, give a person enough rope and he'll hang himself. That's what the Lord does with the sinners. He gives them time and time and time and time and time. But eventually, the end comes, and the Lord knows all about our struggles, and he knows all about our suffering, and he knows all about the issues that we're facing. Trust the Lord. He will give you the wisdom. How to deal with your husband. God knows, ladies, that you need wisdom on how to deal with your husband. How to deal with your wife. I have no idea. But you call on the Lord and he gives you wisdom. The ability to understand. Because though we've been married 51 years, I still don't know her. And I'll tell you a secret. She doesn't know me either. But she thinks she does. She probably does. Women's intuition. All I can tell you is we raise children. We have children on our side. God needs to give us the wisdom. And children, you need to also ask the Lord wisdom to understand your parents. Because you know sometimes they're crazy. You go to the Lord. You have an employer who's nuts. You go to the Lord. Lord, show me how. He will. He gives you wisdom for everyday living. Now, some people take it to an extreme. They wake up in the morning. And I'll tell you that the Lord does say this. So take this as the Lord saying this to you, okay? You don't have to ask him again. Lord, it's a new day. Now, Lord, should I brush my teeth? Yes, brush your teeth. Please, do so. You don't need to ask that again. Some people are that silly, and I don't mean to disrespect, but sometimes people carry it to an extreme. And so they go ahead and they ask God for the brushing of the teeth. But then when the Lord says, love your neighbor, I'm not going to do that. See, sometimes we try to satisfy our own conscience by doing silly things, thinking we're doing God's will and everything's fine. And when the real issues of life come, we say no to the Lord. So don't pull that one. Now, if you couldn't pull it with me, you can't pull it with him. I can assure you of that. His wisdom, he's made wisdom. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. All habits have passed away. Behold, all things become new. He has given us wisdom from heaven, wisdom from God. Secondly, he is our righteousness. He's become our righteousness. And when Paul writes about righteousness, it really means that we have a right relationship with God. So, in all the efforts that you can try to make amends with God and all the love offerings that you want to give him and all the sacrifices that you would do, none of that counts. You can't. You can't. I know it in Spanish. I don't know it in English. Nuestras justicias son como trapos de inmundicia. Something like that. You know? Our justices are like filthy rags. Our efforts are like filthy rags of righteousness. We can't do it. We can't gain God's approval, only realizing that it's through Jesus Christ that we have a right standing before the Lord. You can never achieve right standing before God. Christ gives you righteousness. He gives to you standing with God. Gives it to you. It's yours already, by the way. When you come into God's presence, he knows who you are. We said last week, he is the high priest of our confession, which means not only does he bring us before the Father, but he presents us and says to the Father, hey, Dad, I'm imagining all of this, you know. Let it go to your head. Hey, Dad, yeah. ¿Sabes quién está aquí? You know who's here? Who? Enrique. Oh, Enrique, ¿qué tal? Sometimes we fail to imagine the simplicity in which Christ loves us. Right standing before the Lord. The third thing is he is our holiness or consecration. You cannot get holier than you are right now because of what Christ has done for you. The only way that we can keep ourselves clean is because Jesus has cleansed us from all sin. And consecration or holiness, as the text says, means that you enter into his presence without blemish. you know, we talk about standing with the Lord. Of course we do, but our garments are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb and not by the efforts that we can do. It's almost the same thing as righteousness, but yet it's more than that, because holiness means that we are vessels that he can use for his glory. And you and I enter into his presence, and he equips us immensely above what we even think. You are able to do so much because you have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And there is no blemish in you. Sanctification or holiness, it draws you to God. And it's a walk that you have with him. Though we are already in the presence of the Lord and we're new creations, there's this process in which we begin to understand what all of that means, and we apply the values of the Word of God into our own hearts and lives, and we seek him and we follow him, and he makes us able to do his will because we have been consecrated to God. We belong to God. We belong to God. We are free from the stains of the world. Again, like I've said in the last few weeks, I have in my notes saying they will be applauding right now, but you're so silent. It's okay. Your silence is very, very loud. The last thing we mentioned is that not only is the Lord made wisdom unto us and righteousness unto us and holiness or consecration, he is also our redemption or our deliverance. Because Jesus Christ can and does deliver you from your past. Now, if I were to ask you to stand up and tell me about your past, you probably would be embarrassed if you're really truthful. Right, brother? Thank you. Okay. Absolutely. Well, you're a terrible sinner. But Paul was worse. All of us can count our ways before we know the Lord. But he has redeemed us. He has delivered us from the past sins. And you know, some of you allow the enemy to just beat you with that. Brings back to your mind the things of yesterday. But hey, as far as God is concerned, ain't there. It's not there. You're the only one that brings it up. And the Lord hears that and says, What are you talking about? Why are you bringing up your past life when the Lord has forgiven you? Secondly, he delivers you from your present helplessness. Because sometimes we feel helpless in our life and we don't know how to resolve issues and how to move on and how to get things cooked together for today. But he wants to deliver you from that sense of helplessness because he's there. He is here right now. And also, he is the deliverance from the past, from the present, and from the future. You know, someone said to me, this country's going to the dogs, talking about our country. I said, yeah, well, you should check Argentina. Yeah, he says, but we got, what, 9% inflation? Argentina has 500% inflation. How do they live there? Who knows? I think that's what somebody told me. You know, I'm not afraid of what happens because what? Because the Lord will deliver me and has delivered me from the fear of facing tomorrow. And you and I ought to get that into our minds, that the Jesus we save is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's there. He has helped us from present helplessness and from future fears, whatever they may be. He has given you and me a spirit of independence from slavery, independence from self, and independence from sin. That's what it means to be in Christ Jesus. I thank the Lord that today I can tell you truthfully, I was a sinner, I sinned, and yet the Lord came into my heart, and I became a brand new creature. And part of that new creature'sness is that all things have passed away and a brand new set of values have been incorporated into my life. And every day of my life, I work those values. Sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes it's slip and slide. Sometimes whatever. But you know what? I'm doing everything I can to match my new reality in Christ Jesus with the craziness of this world. I live between two worlds. I'm very happy to know that the world that the Lord has put in my heart will triumph at the end. So brothers and sisters, stop aching about yesterday and stop complaining about today and don't worry about tomorrow. The Lord's got it all together in your life and in my life. We are new creatures. Sometimes we slip, and instead of being in Christ in our minds and hearts, we're in the world and in ourselves. But fear not. You're in Christ. No matter how you feel, no matter how you think, you're in Christ, for you gave yourself to him. And he monitors you. And the slips and slides of your life, he's got it. And the issues that you're handling, he can resolve them. And the bitterness that sometimes you have, he can heal it. And you know what? He knows all about you and still loves you. Still loves you with an everlasting love. That's the good news. And you could be born anywhere in the world, and he loves you just the same. It doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have, what clothes you wear or don't wear, the Lord loves you. No matter whether you're free or slave, as the scripture says, in the Lord, you're covered. He loves you. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Let's live in that newness of life, huh? In Jesus' name. So take a look at your marriage and say, behave. Doesn't mean you tell that to your wife or your husband. Just look at them, behave. Look at your children, behave. Look at your jobs and behave. And apply the values of God's kingdom. Let them work for you. Let the Lord fill the emptiness of your heart. Let him take away the pain that you have, the sorrow that you have, la tristeza del alma, la nostalgia, el dolor. He takes care of that. Let him do it. You have a brand new world in front of you. So instead of complaining, start thanking the Lord. Lord, we thank you that we're more than conquerors through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for working in our lives and working in our hearts. Lord, we just don't understand it. Our minds are not able to comprehend. But Lord, allow us to enjoy the thought of everything you have done for us and give us the desire to live as people of the kingdom, people who have victory, people who have wisdom, people who have everything, because we are people who are in your Son, Jesus Christ. Move in our hearts, Lord. Stress our belief. Gives us victory, Lord, that we may enjoy victory and that we may taste victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we march from this service knowing that he's working in our lives and that he's replacing the old values with the new values, that we're no longer living in the world, but we're living in the Lord, and that we have a brand new future ahead of us with his holiness, with his consecration, with his deliverance, with his wisdom. We're people that will triumph today in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. So this is the day that the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad
in it. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord, and we'll see you at lunch.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to see the service with the worship time included, please visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.